want to talk to us today on the subject, grasping God's next. Grasping God's next. Do you realize this morning that God has a next for you? And so we thank God for all he's done over the last 80 years to really position our church for its next seasons of greatness and effectiveness. But it's very important, church, that while we look back and while we say thanks for all that he has done, it's so important that we also take the time to look forward into all he's going to do in our next seasons of incredible ministry. Not just looking back, but looking forward as well. Too many people have stopped looking forward in their life. I just want to tell you today, our message is not so much a teaching or discipleship this morning, kind of like we're accustomed to, but rather I believe this today to be a word from the Lord, not just concerning our church, but because we know what Jesus said about his church. The Lord said, he said, I will build my church and hell's gates shall not prevail against it. But this message this morning, this message of faith and encouragement is really also for you and your family. It's not just about the church right now. It's about you and your next. Because while we can expect God to prosper the church, we can expect him to cause it to flourish from now to the next 80 years. This morning, I'm very confident that God wants you and your family to be reminded today that he doesn't just want you to be content in what he has done. God wants you this morning to ignite your faith and jump directly in to his next season that he has for you and your family. Can y'all receive that this morning? He doesn't want you just to be content. He wants you to be stirred up today and challenged and ready and willing to get into faith and jump into what he's going to do. So let's read a simple portion of a psalm this morning as a foundation and get this word in our hearts. Come on, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Come on. Amen. God bless you. Reading from Psalm 126 today, verses 1 through 6. Here we go. Bible says this. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us and we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen, everybody. Amen. Will you stretch your hands toward me for just a short prayer and ask God's blessing upon the speaker today? Father, I love you. I thank you so much, God, for the great opportunity that I have this morning, God, to speak this word of God. Lord, I pray that you generate within us this morning the motivation, the inspiration, God, needed to be able to have the faith and the courage to look beyond the past, to look forward, God, into our next, to grasp the next thing that you'd have for us, Lord, as a church, yes, but also as an individual and a family, God. Thank you for your word, God. Today, we need your word. We rely upon your word. And Father, we love your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, I'm inclined to believe that what God has been up to in Locksley Church for the past 80 years is really just laying a solid foundation to equip us for what he intends to do through us for the next 80 years. It's just been great, but man, you know what? It's just been a foundation because how many realize today he ain't done yet? He could just be getting started with us. You can believe that today. He's not even close to being done with the mission of this local body right here. We're going to be strong and we're going to be in his hands changing lives until the day the Lord comes back for this church. We're still going to be serving and making a difference for God. A church that makes it 80 years is a church who knows who Jesus is. It's a church who is committed to change lives with the power of the gospel, and that is always going to be our commitment. But in the same way this morning, church, you need to know and understand right now that God is just getting started with you in the same way that he's just getting started with the church. Oh, come on. Somebody say, don't give up now. He's just getting started with you. And sometimes we live this thing and we go through things and we tend to throw in the towel and throw our hands up and wonder why God is blessing other people, why God is doing great things through other lives and other families. But listen, today in this message, we're going to break that attitude and help you understand today, God's not through with you. He wants to work through you and do something great, not just in your past, but today and in your future. Come on, somebody. He has a next for you. He has a next for your family. And I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to be content with where you have been if you believe this for yourself and for your family and jump right into your next this morning with great expectations of his presence and his power and his blessing in your life. You can have a faith-filled expectation this morning that what he has for you and for your family will greatly exceed anything that you have yet to experience. Come on, I don't know about you. I want a new thing. Come on. Somebody say new thing this morning. I want a new thing. I want to experience something in God that I've never experienced before. I want us to get a hunger and a desire for the power and the presence and the provision of God that challenges the status quo, that pulls us from the thought processes and the thinking where we've been and takes us to a new level of faith-filled expectation of what God can do next when we grasp his next for our life. Are y'all starting to get on board with me this morning? Have you realized that he's got a next for you? I feel like the Lord's leading me in this preaching message this morning because I know, guys, listen, I talk to you, I listen closely. Sometimes there are people who have a hard time believing that God has a next for you. And the message today is very, very clear. God has a next for you, and all you have to do is embrace his next with a faith-filled expectation this morning. So let me give us today very quickly, in this abbreviated message, just four faith-filled expectations for grasping God's next in your life. Number one, expect to finally begin to live the dream. Somebody say, live the dream. Come on. You can expect to finally begin to live the dream. The Bible says this. Look closely at what the scripture said. It says, when the Lord ended their captivity. It was a new season. They looked around. The text describes a time in Israel's history when God was going through one season to their next season. And the result was simply this. They looked around and said, hey, this is like we're living a dream. God has done it. We used to be one way, but now God has moved and we're finally living in the arena of how we knew it always could be. Am I talking to anybody this morning? When he moves and gives you your next, he differentiates between where you were and where he wants you to be. As a church and as an individual and as a family. Now this speaks to many of you today because maybe you've been sitting on a dream for a really long time. Some of you have been serving, you've been giving, you've been working for God, and you've been praying, you've been seeking, remaining faithful. Even when it was time to stick and remain faithful, some of you have been dreaming and remaining faithful for a very long time, waiting on when God might possibly do the big thing in your life or in your church or your family. You've been wondering if and when that dream for your life could finally come to fruition. So I want to remind you this morning very quickly that when you make Jesus your number one priority in your life, and when you make him the forefront, put him where he belongs, and dedicate your life to seeking after his face, dwelling in his presence, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, the Bible says that he's going to add to your life. Can anybody believe that today? If you make him a priority, the Bible says he will add to your life the things you've been concerned about. It's not a question of if God can do it or if God will do it. It is conditional this morning. Listen to me. Based on your personal resolve to make him and keep him number one in your life. And if you do that, church, when he gets good and ready to start pouring the dream into your life, there won't be anything that anybody can do about it or say about it, because God will start opening the doors that no man can shut. Hear me out this morning. I'm talking about grasping hold of your next. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's a new level of faith. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's an education. Maybe it's the courage to take a step of faith and go minister to somebody. I don't know what your next is. Maybe it's doing miracles through your life. Maybe it's you finally beginning to discover your great giftings and your spiritual ministry giftings from God. I don't know what your next looks like. Maybe for you, your next just involves family reconciliation, healing and wholeness in your body. I don't know what it is, but if you'll hang on, make him number one in your life, God will add these things to your life, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. When God gets ready to move, they got to get out of the way, because God's going to move in your life. So don't let go of your big dream for God's next in your life. Grasp his next for your life and hold on with the great expectation this morning that what he's going to do is on the way. And one day you too will look back on your life and say, hey, God has done it. We're finally living the dream we always knew was heading our way. Can anybody receive it this morning? I don't know about you. I'm going there, man. I'm going there. I'm believing God for it now more than ever, for our lives and for your life and for our church. Come on, if you receive it, say, I receive it this morning. Amen. Next expectation. Expectation number two, expect to have a remarkable turnaround. Not just a little turnaround, a remarkable turnaround. How many have you ever been there in your life when you need God to do something remarkable in your life? Nothing casual. Something remarkable. Look what the word said. Verse 2 said, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. You know, you may be in a season right now when laughter and singing don't exactly describe your outlook on things. But when God brings you to your next, the Bible says that there's a spiritual condition. He describes it in the Word of God. There's a spiritual condition called joy unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all ready to receive that today? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the same thing is going to happen to you and your family and your church that happened to God's people when he did it for them. They're going to look at what's going on with you and your family, and they're going to say, hey, look what the Lord has done in their life. Come on, somebody. Y'all get with me now. They're going to look at you, and they're going to say, you know what? God must be up to something in her life. She used to be discouraged. She used to be downtrodden. She used to be disillusioned, but she laid hold on the expectation of what God is going to do. And now look at her. Things have changed around a little bit. Her remarkable turnaround came straight from God. Church, hear me. I'm not talking about some casual blessing. No, God's next for you is not just a casual blessing. It's a blessing this morning that others cannot help but notice. I'm ready to receive it, guys. It's a blessing. It's a next level that other people look and peer into the content of your life, see how things are going, see the hand of God moving in your life, and it undeniably, they cannot do anything but just say, you know what? God must be doing something in your life. And that's not all. His next for you describes a condition that is such a remarkable turnaround that others don't even believe that you did it by yourself. They say, hey, look what the Lord has done. I want that in my life. How about you guys? That's going to happen in your life. Listen, this is the thing this morning. Grasping God's next as a family, as an individual, as a church, involves great belief in what God can do. Great belief in the Word of God. That he'll do what his word says he'll do. Amen. So church, if you grasp your next from God, hear me, you can expect the kind of change that causes thanksgiving to abound toward the Lord. And hear me, He'll do it in your next because He knows you and He knows that you're going to be consistent and diligent to give Him the praise. Praise God. Aren't you glad about that this morning? Expect a remarkable turnaround. Not something little, something big from God. Can y'all believe with that for me, guys? Something great, big from God. This is why I'm compelled this morning. I feel so inspired to challenge us with this thing because it's important to look back, but I believe it's more important to look forward. Number three, faith-filled expectation. Expect your next to be better than your last. I want y'all to say that one out loud with me. Ready? One, two, three. Expect your next to be better than your last. Are you able to do that this morning? Look at verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. In other words, Lord, we're glad about what you've done, but Lord, turn it around even one more time. Now, y'all ain't getting with me now. Lord, we're glad about what you've done. We recognize where we've been and you've been faithful to us, but Lord, we're a little bit hungrier now. We know what you can do. Our faith is being built up and we're generating a great belief in God, what you can do for ourselves and our family and our church and whatever it is. Lord, we're glad you did it, but Lord, turn it around again for us. And this time, turn it all the way around, God. We've observed something, Lord. We've observed that if you're north of the equator and in the north, water runs one way, and in the south, water runs the other way, Lord. And we're glad that you've given us water. We're thankful for our water. But Lord, we don't just want to be wet. We want to experience a brand new direction. My life needs something new. My direction, my family needs a brand new direction. We've been experiencing the blessings. We know we've been faithful. We've been getting by and going one direction. But Lord, turn it around again. Do something special in our life. I want somebody this morning who can get on board and believe with me for the special thing from God, that He's not just going to give you a casual blessing. He's going to give you a kind of change and the kind of next in your life and in the life of your family that it looks different. It's not just a little different. It's a whole new direction. Tapping into the things of God. Tapping and touching the heart of God in a new way. Pursuing His face in a whole new way. Getting passionate about the things of God in ways you've never done before. Don't just give us another sprinkle from the same old spring. We want to be fully immersed in your flow, O Lord, and your power in ways that don't even compare to anything we've ever experienced before. Come on, somebody. Brand new thing. A brand new thing in our life. Oh, come on. If you'll grasp hold of your next, be careful. He may just begin to stir up things that you thought had been gone for a long time. Some of you have just given up on some things in life. I'll tell you this. Your next involves God digging it up and proving it to you that, yes, He can do it after all. Whatever it is. Speaking to some people here today who's spouse has given up on your marriage ever being made whole. Maybe somebody's given up on the fact that your children are struggling leaving God. You're getting so discouraged, you're wondering if they're ever going to come back to Jesus. Maybe you've given up on that promise from Scripture that He's going to be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And you're wondering if you're ever going to break through and finally experience God's provision and blessings in your life and the life of your family. But let me tell you something. The cry to God this morning is not a casual cry. It's a brand new faith that says, Lord, we don't just want a sprinkle. We want a whole new stream. We want a whole new stream. We want a whole new experience, God. So people of God, grasp God's next in your life. It's good to be glad about where you've been, but understand that when God gives you your next, It's going to be greater than your last. The theme in Scripture is very, very clear. The Bible says He takes you from glory to glory based on your faith-filled expectations of what God can do. Not a theology that's built around what He might do or what He won't do. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says like this. He says, when you draw nearer to God, God draws nearer to you. And when you cleanse your hands and humble yourself in the sight of Him, He begins to lift you up. Come on, somebody. Your next is greater than your last. Who received it this morning? Amen. I don't know what it is. There's one more this morning before we pray. Number four, expect God to reward your faithfulness. Expect God to reward your faithfulness. Do y'all realize that the Word says that in order to please God, you must know that He is. And you must know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Expectation for God's reward. I'm never going to preach and encourage you to do things because God's going to bless you for doing it. But as a child of God, you can get into the faith of God and in the Word and know that you can bank on the Word. You can count on God to do what His Word says He'll do. Expect God to reward your faithfulness. Look at verse number 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. Expect God to bless and reward your faithfulness to Him. Well, Pastor Brandon, how do I know? How do I know if I'm where God is pouring out His blessing? Here it is, very, very clear, very easy, church. If you're not yet breaking forth carrying your sheaves, it means God's not done with you yet. If you're not walking in that dream, in that provision, that blessing, if you're not toting your sheaves, the fruit of His supernatural outpouring in your life and in your family and your church, it means God's still doing something He's not done. Keep holding on. You just need to keep sowing those tears. Keep on bearing your seed. You can expect God to give you a supernatural response to the time that you've spent weeping and sowing. Somebody listen to me this morning. How many of y'all understand what I mean when I say weeping and sowing? That means, you know what, weeping before the Lord. Have you ever been so desperate in your life that you cried before God? How long has it been since you wept before the Lord and said, Lord, I've got to have a change. I've got to have help. Well, I believe you to the point of, you know what, I'm so desperate, I'm weeping before the Lord. How about weeping because of His presence? Weeping because of the overwhelming joy and the touch from God's presence in your life. Weeping and sowing. Church, when you add weeping to your sowing, it causes God to fill your hands with sheaves. What in the world is a sheave? A sheave, y'all have seen these on television and in movies. A sheave is a bundle of wheat. It's bound together with twine on both ends. Big bundle, like a little hay bale. It's a bundle that you've got to lift up with two hands and tote around and carry on your shoulders to get it home. The word picture here is that of a farmer who sowed and worked and sowed and worked and gave and served and wondered when his time would come. And he sowed and worked, but there was no harvest. And it may seem to you like that's the kind of season that you're in this life. But hear me. When you add faith and tears. Come on, somebody say faith and tears. When you add faith and tears to your sowing, God begins to notice. And He'll create a new season in your life that causes you to go in empty-handed, but come out on the other side with arms full of sheaves of harvest for your mission. Are y'all ready for that now? If you look at your life and you're not carrying your sheaves just yet, it just means that God has a next for you. God has a next for you. Grasping God's next. This morning, I want to challenge us and pray for families today. I'd like for everybody in here to begin to ask God right now, Lord, what's my next? Can y'all do that right now? Lord, what is my next? Give me my next. God, show me what it is. I'm ready to step from where I am into my next level, into my next supernatural situation, God. My next level of growth, of faith. My next level of blessing, my next provision, my next power. God, I've been praying for a long time. Now I'm ready to get over into my next level where those prayers are not only being heard, but they are being answered. What's your next right now? What is it? Pastor B, I think my next is just get up in the morning and go to work, and that's good. That's good. Do what you got to do, but don't let the dream die. I was told by a guy one time that his father didn't love him. He was discouraged about it. He had given up on his relationship with his dad. They had it out for years. He told me the whole story. His dad became sick, came down with the cancer. And as he was talking to me, he was describing a situation where, you know, I wish I hadn't lost my relationship with my dad. And I reminded that guy, I said, you know what? It's not over. Oh yeah, my dad doesn't love me. Some of y'all know the story. I've told it before. I said, but do you love him? He said, oh yeah, I love him, but I just know he'll never forgive me for the way I treated him. We got back to his house and his dad came out and he said, what are you doing talking to that boy of mine? He's no good. And I said, listen, your son loves you. And the old man said to me, my son doesn't love me. We don't have a relationship. I said, but you can have one. I said, he loves you. He said, how do you know my son loves me? And I said, because he just sat in the truck and told me how much he loves you. And he wishes y'all could have a relationship again. Are y'all hearing me, guys? He said, really? He said he loved me. I said, yes. That night, the guy called me on the phone and he said, I want you to know, my dad and I have been up all night long talking. We finally forgave each other. He told me he loved me and we're going to go to church together. I got up the next Sunday morning, the next Sunday on the weekend, they went to Reno Baptist Church. He followed up with me later on and he told me they've been going to church together. They've become friends and they love each other. Praise God. Hey, God's not finished. I've talked to so many people who thought their marriage was over. Wives, listen to me, husbands. Wives who've been begging God to save their husbands for years. Y'all know what it's like. Coming to church, praying for him. Ready to throw in the towel. There's no next for us. But I've seen God show up in his life, turn him around, give him such a remarkable turnaround that everybody looks at their life and says, what happened? God can do it for you. I prayed with a woman one day whose doctors told her she's going to die from her brain tumor. There's no next. Pastor Brandon, if you don't pray for me, if God don't touch me and heal me, there's no next for me. I'm going into a surgery. But he says, I'm probably not going to make it out of the surgery. I prayed for her. God wasn't done with her. When I went to the hospital to visit her before her surgery the next day, she was standing up in the hospital bed, jumping up and down, praising God. She said, Pastor, I'm not having surgery. I'm going home. They did a CT scan when I got here this morning. There was no cancer in my brain. They said, they must have made a mistake. I just believe that God showed up and touched her and proved to her that, you know what? You may think that it's over, but when God says it's not over, it's not over. I've talked to so many people whose ministry lives have gone dead. Thrown in the towel. Stopped dreaming big for God a long time ago. Pastors of churches, youth pastors, ministers of music, great servers in the life of the church. Something negative will happen in their life and they'll throw in the towel and start making cold-hearted excuses. But God, when His presence gets on the scene and His Spirit touches your life, He reminds you of the most important thing that you can be reminded of. The very nature of the cross of Jesus is that you don't have to stay the same. Not even death can beat the one who went to the cross for you, went to the grave for you, and came out of that grave so that you could be different and changed by the power of the living God. It's not over yet. God's got a next for you. I don't know what it is. But this morning as I pray, I'm going to pray for families. In fact, this morning, if you will.
Thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us this morning. If you will, scan this QR code or go to loxleychurch.cc and fill out a connect card. We would love to connect with you and get you plugged into the life of the church. If something stood out to you this morning, make sure you drop a comment in the comment section. We would love to hear from you. Again, we are so glad that you decided to tune in and worship with us this morning, and we can't wait to see you next week.